Patrick. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Patrick, y'all quit goofing off. He ready.
Excuse me. It's 10:31, please. The judge is not here, so you have to live with me. If you don't mind, at this time, Commissioner Senegal will do the invocation, and Commissioner Vernon Peels will do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Please rise. With the court's permission, I'd ask Attorney Payne, Reverend Payne, to say the prayer.
Sure. Let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, how excellent is your name. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come together again. Lord, we know there's so much turmoil going on in the world, but you are a God of peace and a God of comfort. So we put all our hope into you, and we ask that you just do what you always have done, and that is rule and super rule over this country. We ask that you rule not over this country, but this local area as well. We ask you touch all of our leaders, that they might be guided by your thoughts, your wisdom, and your discernment. Lord, in all things we give you praise and glory. It's in your Son Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge to our great nation. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
And under purchasing, A, consider and approve specification for invitation for bid table. I'm sorry. Okay. We will table in A and go on to B. B, consider and approve, execute, receive, and file an engagement letter with Millman to update the OPEB area valuable GASB 75 for the Jefferson County for fiscal year 2023 and 2024 in the amount of $21,250. C, consider and approve, execute, receive, and file job order contract with McGinnis Construction for the LaBelle Road reconstruction in the amount of $699,310.78 in accordance with the regional 2015080 Regional 5 Jock ESC contract. D, consider approved renewal for rebid term contract for Moore and Jefferson County in the third one-year renewal with Universal Operational LLC from November the 30th, 2022 to November the 29th, 2023. E, consider improved disposition of savage property as authorized by the local government code 261.152.3 for broken and obsolete items. F, consider improved disposition of savage property as authorized by the local government code 263.152.3 for broken and obsolete computer equipment. G, consider and approve disposition of scrap metal, scrap property to be transported to a metal salvage company and there sold for such price as it may command and return funds to the county auditor. I'm open for a motion to accept these items.
So move.
Second. Got a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. Moving right along to the county auditor. A, consider and approve FY 2023 budget transfer Road and Bridge Precinct 4 additional costs for contract to clean service center building, $17,160. B, consider and approve FY 2022 budget transfer Road and Bridge Precinct 3 additional costs for repairs, $2,500. C, consider and approve FY 2023 budget amendment, mosquito control replacement of truck, $25,950. D, consider and approve FY 2023 budget transfer service center additional amount needed for heat slash cooling unit, $500. E, consider and approve FY 2023 budget amendment, risk management, replacement of TV and mount, $850. F, receive and file amendment number 3 for contract CA000997 with the Texas Park and Wildlife Department for project Mesquite Point Public Boat Ramp. Amendment update for additional funds from Chenier Energy related to this contract. G, consider and approve expenditures for Road and Bridge Precinct Number 2 and Mid-County Maintenance in accordance with order pursuant to Section 130.908 of the Texas Local Government Code, purchasing for computer and upgrade equipment in the amount of $1,330, and cost for pest control contract. H, consider approved expenditures by the district attorney in accordance with the order pursuant to Section 130.908 of the Texas Local Government Code, purchasing of notary bonds and supplies in the amount of $250.20. I, consider and ratify electronic disbursement for $1,353,277.04 to Tender Loving Care Center Children DBA Legacy Community Development Corporation for payment of claims. J, consider and approve acceptance of Criminal Alliance Assistance Program 2021 grant for $48,004 through the Justice Grant System Portal. Consider and approve acceptance of State Criminal Alliance Assistance Program 2021 grant for $48,004 through the Justice Grant System Portal. K, discuss and approve following second appeal to FEMA regarding emergency closure policy premium pay related to Texas severe winter storm for February 2021. L, regular county bills, check number 500531 through check number 500737, and that's for the 11th, the 8th of 2022. And check number 500738 through check number 500985, and that's for the 11th, the 15th of 2022. I'm open for a motion to accept these items.
So, second.
Is there any discussion on any of these items?
Yes,
Yes. Just a little background. During the winter storm, they denied our request for reimbursement on our premium pay in accordance with our closure policy for that time that was worked. Basically, the straight time that was worked from, let's say, 8 to 5. They were covering the overtime, but they wouldn't cover that halftime premium. We appealed. They denied it. We have one more chance to appeal. It's too small, the amount, for arbitration. So we're going to utilize the purchase order that's remaining. We have about $6,000 remaining in the purchase order, but before we move forward with it, wanted to tell y'all we were going to do that. We have about a 60-day deadline back from, I think, the first part of November. So I think we're just going to try to state our case that, you know, once again, this is not normal pay. This is an emergency situation. We've been paid for it in the past. Not sure, no rules have really changed of why they changed the rules.
And Patrick, this is for the law enforcement, or who is
yeah,
that?
It's for your essential employees.
Okay.
You know, our policy is once you're required to stay, you receive time and a half beginning at
right.
hour one. And so they were eliminating that halftime premium pay from hours 1 through 40 in okay. a work week. And, you know, this is small, but in the future, that's up. Always a significant amount. And I think that's why we need to win this.
Right. We had an emergency declaration at that time.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Statewide. It was nationwide.
Are we the only ones they deny or they deny it statewide?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it'd be people that have or other counties that have this type of policy and this premium pay for essential employees, but I'm not aware of anybody else that's been denied.
Okay.
It's just a little frustrating.
Yeah, okay. I can imagine.
With that, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. Under Constable Precinct 6, consider and possibly approve a hiring of Everett D. Comier as a deputy constable with Constable Precinct 6 in accordance with Local Government Code 86.0011. I'm open for a motion for that one.
So moved.
Got a motion.
Second.
Got a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. Under Commissioner's Court, A, consider and possible approval authorizing county judge to execute an interlocal agreement between Jefferson, Hardin, Jasper counties and the City of Beaumont and Port Arthur to utilize funds provided to Motor Vehicle Crime Prevention Authority pursuant to Chapter 791 of the Texas Government Code. B, conduct a public hearing to consider and possibly approve an order designating the Arkema Project Strawberry Properties, the Beaumont, Texas, as the Arkema 2022 Reinvestment Zone pursuant to Section 312.401 Tax Code. This is a Property Tax Redevelopment and Tax Abatement Act. We are now open for a public hearing. Anyone would like to speak to this issue? Hearing none, we're closing the public hearing. C, consider and possibly order, consider and possibly approve an order that designating the Arkema Project Strawberry Property, Beaumont, Texas, as a reinvestment zone pursuant to Section 312.401 of Texas Tax Code, the Property Tax Redevelopment and Tax Abatement Act. D, consider a public hearing regarding approval of property tax agreement between Jefferson County and Arkema for Project Strawberry Property, the Beaumont, Texas, pursuant to Section 312.401 Tax Code. We are now open for the public hearing on the agreement tax, the property tax agreement. We are now open for it. Would anyone like to speak to that at this time? Hearing none, we're now moving right along and closing this public hearing. E, consider and approve authorizing county judge to execute, receive, and file the property tax agreement between Jefferson County and Arkema for Project Strawberry Property, the Beaumont, Texas, pursuant to Section 312.401 Tax Code. And this is the Property Tax Redevelopment and Tax Abatement Act. F, receive and file executive order implementing requirements of Jefferson County participants in the County Health Care Providers Participant Program. The Health Care Providers Participant Program model rules and procedures and the Jefferson County LPPF FY 2023 rate proposal. G, consider and approve authorizing county judge to execute an order adding a properties contact in the petition of addition of contact land to be included into the Jefferson County Assistant District Number 4, which was approved by Commissioners Court on September 6th of 2022. I'm now open for a motion to accept these items.
So moved.
Got a motion.
Second.
Have a second from both members, Commissioner Senegal and Commissioner Bush. Do we have any discussion on any one of these items? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. An engineering department, consider and possibly approve plat of a 3.81 acre tract called 3.799 acre CF 201, I'm sorry, I'll repeat that, 202102-4618 in the track 1 and track 2 of track 2, line in the Cypher Dean League abstract number 16, Jefferson County, Texas. The minor plat is located off of Blanche Road in Jefferson County Precinct number 1. Additionally, this minor plat is potentially located in the City of China city limits and the City of China ETJ. This minor plat has met all Jefferson County and the City of China requirements. B, considering possible approve amending plat, final plat of Madison Oak subdivision being 52.572 acres out of the W.H. Albert survey abstract number 813 and G.W. Payne survey abstract number 188, Jefferson County, Texas. This subdivision is located off of FM Highway 365 in Precinct Number 4. The amendment final subdivision plat has been reviewed by Jefferson County Engineering Department, has met our platting requirements. I'm open for a motion to accept these two items on engineering.
So, second.
Got a motion and a second. Any questions in reference to this? Would you like to speak to B, or would you like to say anything in reference to either one of them?
I mean, that second one was just an amendment to that plat. There were just some corrections that needed to be made on okay. the designations of the wetlands that were on that plat.
So okay.
No changes, just some little corrections.
Okay, then. Thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. Historical Commission, consider and possibly approve, receive and file the execute an antique permit, historical building and structure permit, and photograph of the installation of the television mount for the 58th Judicial District Court. Open for a motion to accept this.
Motion to accept.
Got a motion. I need a second. I have a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carry unanimous. At this time, I have a speaker, Mr. Jack Stanley, that would like to speak to the Commissioner's Court. And please, you can come up. Make sure the mic is on.
Sounds like it is.
All right.
Yes, my name is Jack Seeley. I'm a resident of Jefferson County, have been since 1998. I know that makes me an outsider, but anyways, I'm here to speak about a nonprofit operating here in Orange, Hardin, and Jefferson County called Sleepin' Heavenly Peace. The goal of that nonprofit is to provide utility-grade twin beds to kids 3 to 17 that don't have a bed of their own. And that's described as sleeping on the floor, sleeping with a sibling or an adult, or sleeping on a couch or in a chair. To date, since March of 2019, we have built and delivered 1,923 beds. As of this morning, we have requests for 481 beds. That's 203 requests. The average request is for 2.5 beds. Our application process is done on the internet. People that need those beds apply on the internet. The computer looks at the zip code and sends it to one of 350 chapters that exist around the U.S. and Canada. Our build process takes place the second Saturday of every month. We build not too far from here at 4th and Milam Street.
Okay.
We use regular lumber that you would buy at any lumber yard here in the area, many of who have supported us by selling to us at cost, and you all know what lumber prices have done lately. In fact, I joke with volunteers, I say with the high price of lumber, sawdust is still free, but any sliver you take home, you have to pay us a dollar for. We build a very simple bed. We don't use tape measure or pencil. I'm very proud to say that over half of our volunteers are women. And I always get them on my side by saying, I'm really glad to see all you women. You follow directions better than the men do. On the third Saturday, volunteers gather to deliver the beds. The beds are not assembled. They're very easy to assemble. It takes a cordless drill with a bit in it to drill in the 5-inch long lag screws that hold it together. All funds have to be raised locally. The only national support that we get, Lowe's has been very generous. They donated $1.5 million this year to the organization. We at the local level are eligible to request up to $8,000 of that. Industry has been good to us. We have received major donations from Chenier Energy, and also just this last week we're awarded $30,000 from Valero. It went off into the stratosphere somewhere in the wire transfer system, and it hasn't landed yet, but I trust that it will. What I really am here for, and please forgive me if I use some politically incorrect labels, I'm just a Yankee, I don't know any better, but approximately 70% of our deliveries go to families normally recognized as black. 20% go to Hispanic and Southeast Asian, and about 10% go to white families. On the flip side of that, our volunteers are roughly 90% white or Hispanic, and only 10% of the black community. I'm asking you as leaders of the community if you can help change those statistics. We need help. We're trying to deliver 150 beds before Christmas. We already have the beds built, thanks to a little intercompany competition at Chenier. We had two different groups come, and they each tried to outdo each other, working for bragging rights. But anything that you can do to raise the awareness and help us, we would be forever grateful. All of the contact information is on the back of the brochures. If anyone here in the audience would like a brochure or one of my business cards, I have to have them, and I also have an exact scale model bed. This, of course, is the bunk bed version. It comes apart, but if I pull it apart right here, I'll never get it back together again. But it is an exact scale model. If you look at the end of it, that's a 2x4, a 2x6, and another 2x4. These pieces are a 1x4. It takes 7 pieces to build a headboard. The headboard and the footboard are identical. The side rails are a 2x6 with a 1x2. Screwed onto it. The slats are 1x4s. We buy 6-inch inner foam mattresses that come in a box about 1 foot square and 4 feet long. They're vacuum packed. The kids absolutely love it when we open those up because they won't believe there's a mattress in that box. And when we puncture that plastic box, it goes like that and poof, they've got a mattress. And they're very nice mattresses. I've actually slept on one myself. We also provide bed clothes. That bed is ready to sleep in when we leave. Any questions?
No questions, but I'm glad you came before us. And Mr. Durden, I think it's one that we need to take up with our group, okay?
We participated.
I know we have, yeah.
Okay,
thank you very much. Mr. Sealing, before you sit down, I want to say I've helped build many Saturdays beds. You got a big delivery this weekend, if I remember right. Somehow you've got so many beds that you need to get them out, and so there's plenty of time to volunteer, take an impact tool, and go deliver them. And I've delivered beds, too. And to your point, it's always neat to have the kids help make up their bed. There's a smile from ear to ear when they get into it.
Oh, yes. We've learned that the last thing you want to take into the house is the bed clothes, because the kids get fighting over who's going to get which one.
Right, because they're got animated animals.
Yes, for the younger kids. We try to have cartoon characters, et cetera.
But thank you for all the service you do with that. And I do encourage... I know Mr. Durden and I have been down there together working on beds, and I think anybody that can volunteer, it's a fun deal. You only work about a half a day, and so it's really easy to...
Yes, here, when the weather's a little bit cooler, we're actually doing an afternoon shift also. We work from 8:30 in the morning till noon, and then we take a break and start in again at 1 o'clock till 3:30 or 4 o'clock.
Yep. Thank you again.
Okay, thank you.
I think it's good, very good
that's
point.
A small check. I spoke at Spindletop Rotary, and in the middle of it, a woman opened her purse, got out her checkbook, wrote a check, walked up to me, and gave it to me while I was still speaking. I didn't know whether she was inspired by my talk or she was trying to get me to shut up.
I do think the Beaumont Rotary Club is delivering beds this weekend. Yep.
Yep. 30 deliveries,
roughly 70
beds.
Right. Thank you again.
Attorney Payne.
Thank you, Commissioner. I stand before you. My name is James Payne. I have been a registered voter since I was 18 years old. I don't stand. This is the first time I've addressed this court outside of doing the opening prayer. I've been asked several times for the opening prayer. I come before you not as a on behalf of any party or on behalf of any candidate. I stand before you as a concerned citizen who goes around this community and tries to encourage individuals to vote. I bring this issue up because I have a situation that I want to bring to the attention to the commissioners. I've brought it to both parties, and it is concerning, and I'm hopeful that the commission will do something about it. As I told you, I don't stand here on behalf of any party, any candidates. For those of you who know me, I go around this community. I try to encourage people to vote. I don't encourage them to vote for any particular party or any particular candidate, but I do believe it's important for everyone to vote. I spend specific amount of my time with the youth and specific amount of time with the elders. And by that, I have tried as long as I've been here to make sure that we have a great turnout. Because what I've been told, particularly from listening to the commission, because I come here quite frequently, is that we want to have transparency, we want to have accuracy, and we want to make sure that every vote counts. I've heard those words from this court, and I believe everyone will agree, sitting in this courtroom, that is something that we all strive for. However, my daughter, and I want to specifically use my daughter as an example, because my daughter grew up with a philosophy that is important for her to vote. I've taken her to vote since she was 10 years old. Every time I vote, she votes with me. My sons do the same because I want to encourage them to get used to the process of voting so that their votes will be counted. My daughter is now a senior at Spelman College in Atlanta, Georgia. And because she could not vote, I asked her to submit in a timely fashion her absentee ballot. That was submitted several months ago. And this is the second time that she has submitted her absentee ballots, along with her brothers, because they are in Cambridge and Houston. Unfortunately, this time, I found out the morning of the election, this past Tuesday, my daughter's vote was not counted. It was brought to my attention because I received, and I have it right now, the letter that says that her vote was not counted because of discrepancies regarding the signature. I had the permission of my daughter to open her mail because this was mailed to her. When I discovered that, I was told by the nomenclature of this letter that she had 6 days to dispute that. I start by saying, first of all, my daughter lives in Atlanta. This is the reason why she needed an absentee ballot. She needed an absentee ballot because she lives in Atlanta. She's got 6 days to challenge this. The document was sent to the Beaumont residents, which, but for me opening my daughter's mail, there would have been no way for her to receive this information and timely object and consider the issues that are presented. So I then tried to figure out, well, when was this sent? So I opened the information, and her challenge was dated November 4th, 2022. So I wanted to find out, well, then when was the letter sent? And so I have the letter here, and I have a copy of it for each of you. According to the mailing letter, this letter, even though it was objected to on November 4th, the letter is stated and stamped May 18th, 2022. Obviously, it is impossible to mail this out on May 18th, 2022, when it was objected on November 4th, 2022, which causes some concerns because either this was not put in the mailbox as stamped, or somebody moved the mailbox, the mail date, either which would be a great concern, and I think would be a great concern to everyone in this court. So now I stand before you because my daughter, who has participated in this process, now has no ability to have her voice heard at the ballot box, which, again, I suspect would be a concern of everyone in this courtroom. Because, again, you're talking about a 21-year-old student who's trying to have her voice heard. If her voice is not heard, then she becomes a discouraged voter and no longer wants to participate in the process. I bring all that before you because I would ask this body, as I brought this information to both the chair, to the people that were at the polls of both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, for someone to explain, as well as to the Secretary of State, can anyone explain to me how this could take place in Jefferson County? And the answer that I got back from both the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, as well as the Secretary of State, there is no explanation and is unexplainable. So I take the next step to this commissioner's court because, again, if we wait until election time, it's too late. Obviously, it's too late for my daughter. So as we move forward, I hope that this commission will take this issue under advisement and try to provide some explanation as to how a letter is sent out on May 18, 2022 of a decision that was made on 11-4-2022, and why is it sent to the address in Beaumont when it is very clear she currently lives in Atlanta, Georgia, and she only has 6 days to respond to that. I stand before you because I want to make sure that every citizen of Jefferson County has a right to exercise their vote and that their votes are heard and accounted for, because I do not want to discourage young voters and elderly voters from participating in the voting process. With that being said, I have a copy of this, and I hope to hear comments and questions or concerns regarding this commission as to how we address these matters going forward.
Thank you, Mr. Payne.
Do y'all need?
If you don't mind, sure. You probably need to give us.
Mr. Payne, I'd be happy to respond to that. This is the first I'm hearing about this.
Hey, sir.
Sir, it's the first I'm hearing about this. That letter was probably produced through our early voting ballot board. Up until a certain point, mail ballots that need to be cured are handled through our office, and then about a week before the election, any ballots that come in that need curing go to the early voting ballot board. And the way the law states, the early, and this is the reason why we don't mail ballots out a week before, and these dates were established as by statute by the early voting ballot board and by our office. There comes a point where we don't feel it's right for us to mail ballots back because we may not get them back. So there's a point when the early voting ballot board can call the voter and ask them to come to our office and cure their ballot. And when the early voting ballot board makes those calls, they have until 6 days after the election to come to our office and cure. Now, there's still some things by statute that I personally have issue with. I wish the law would be cleaned up a little bit on that, but that's a discussion for another day. This ballot may have come back without a signature within that time frame to our office, and so it went to the early voting ballot board for curing, and they therefore sent this out. The date stamp on the envelope, we pre-stamp our envelopes, and that's probably what this is. We just have them in our office, and they may have just grabbed these. That does not indicate the date it was sent through the mail. There would be a cancellation stamp on it through the Postal Service that would indicate the date stamp on that. So I'll be happy to look into this, Mr. Payne, but that is the procedure that it sounds like it happened. It came through the early voting ballot board, and we've had a number of people cure their ballots in that way. They've come to our office in person, as the law requires, and have cured their ballots.
So if they're mailed them, if they live in Atlanta and they mail a ballot in, they still have to come to your office and cure the ballot? Statute is two different things.
Okay.
We decided.
Our early voting ballot board decided that if we mailed the ballots back a week before the election, by the time it got to the individual and they corrected it and mailed it back, we probably would not get it in time. So in thinking about the big picture, we thought it would be easier if they made phone calls. And the early voting ballot board is made up of both Republicans and Democrats, and these are their suggestions and the way they wanted to work their committee. So if the ballot came back without a signature, and frankly, sometimes they're signed, and sometimes through the mailing process, the strip gets pulled off of the ballot. It's a problem, too. It's a state-designed mail ballot, and we've had that issue before, too, and we've done the best we could to try to get these cured. And this, unfortunately, happened in that manner, and we also, in the mailing process, the thing I have the most problem with personally is that a lot of the people that need mail ballots need a mail ballot because they can't physically come to a polling location. Yet the way the law states, they have to appear in person and cure their ballot on this particular call process. That's why we like in our office to mail them back. But in the interest of the situation with mail not getting back and forth to us timely, we try to call people and have them come. We've had a number of them cured that way. It is a situation in the law. I'll be perfectly honest. In the last election, we mailed them back, and we got a few back in by mail, and we accepted them, which is not what we're supposed to do. And when we went to the law seminar, there were a lot of counties that did that also, and we all got a scolding because that was not the way the law reads. I'm hoping that the legislature and the Secretary of State indicates too that this phase of this ballot curing process can be done by mail, that we can mail the corrective form, and it's an affidavit also, to the voter, and they can fill it out and turn around and mail it back to us without having to appear in person. And Mr. Payne, I know you have a lot of influence, and it would be wonderful, and I'd be happy to support you if you could try to make that change. I believe the Secretary of State understands that that is a flaw in this process, and it needs to be corrected. And perhaps maybe this situation could be resolved in the future in a better way, because it is a problem in the law.
I heard a lot, Lori, but my concerns are right off would be, I'm looking at the envelope and it says May. May. This says it was stamped May.
That's our...
Let me finish.
Okay.
If you don't mind, run all the traps down, give it to us in writing so we know what happened with this.
Okay.
I don't want to hear verbiage. I want to see you run it down.
I'll be happy
to. And give it to us in that form, okay?
Okay, but just to reiterate, because you brought up the date stamp, we stamp these in our...
Excuse me. I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I'm saying, if you don't mind, run it down, bring it back to us, including the early valid board rules that they put in place. Bring it back to us in writing so we know exactly what happened, okay?
Be happy to.
Thank you. Mr. Payne?
Just one more thing. The date stamp is one issue. The other, which now I understand, which is what I'm hearing, is a local issue, because I do think it probably needs to be changed from a statewide level. But there is a local concern that still exists. If we know she has to be back in person in 6 days, and we know she's in Atlanta, why would the mail be sent to a Beaumont location for someone who has to appear within 6 days? That is a local issue, not a statewide issue.
That's why I want you, to run it down so we know everything. Then that way we all on the same page.
Sounds fine.
Is that fair?
Absolutely.
Okay, then.
And include the state statutes of what's required by the Secretary of State. If someone's in the military and they have to be back in 6 days, it makes no sense that, that's the biggest issue I have, is that he says she's in Atlanta, she couldn't have got it. I can't afford to fly my kids back from Atlanta just to cure ballot. So we need to fix that process. I'm not saying it's your problem, but I'm saying she's in Atlanta. It's not like she's crippled and can't come to the poll and vote because she's in Beaumont. She's in Atlanta. So let's just fix, let's mail it out in June and, whatever the state statute requires for a Secretary of State. That's the biggest problem I have. And then it was sent to Beaumont, and she sent it from Atlanta. So, that's my biggest problem.
Okay,
can I say one thing?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Payne, like myself, Ms. Leister is going to be gone January 1st, and there'll be a new county clerk here. And I would suggest that you meet with her personally and explain this to her in person so that she can work with you to help rectify this, too. This is just as an afterthought as to what you brought up here.
I would love to do that. I only bring this issue up because I know that we got a new county clerk. I know police. She knows my daughter personally.
Right.
And I've met with the county clerk, but as I appreciate, it's up to this body as to who will handle the election process. And so to the extent that we are unable to get codified rules locally,
right,
of how we are going to address this, because this is not a James Payne issue.
Right.
This is not a Tarrant issue. This
right.
is a Jefferson County
yeah.
issue. And as far as for me personally, this has nothing to do with party affiliation.
Right.
I think everyone in this courtroom has a concern, or should have a concern, that everyone who wants to vote should have their votes counted.
Sure.
And if we have an internal process that is approved by this body that does not allow that to take place, I think everyone sitting in this courtroom, Republican, Democrat, Independent, Black, White, Purple, or Pink, should be concerned. And for someone who's out in the community trying to get people to vote, this is very disheartening.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you've said. I just want to make sure that the incoming clerk is aware of this situation.
Goodness.
So that she can help to rectify it as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And with that, we are now open for anybody that's on the line that would like to speak to the court or have anything to say. We're now open for that. Anyone's on the line? Anybody up here, you guys want to have anything to say?
Yes, sir. I'd like to. I made this a couple weeks ago. Tonight at the China Elementary, TxDOT is going to have a meeting that talks about the changes they were proposing on Highway 90. There's been a lot of discussion in the community about that. This is a stretch from the city of Beaumont to the city of Nome. And starts at 5:30. I think it'll go to 7 or 7:30. If anybody has a concern and would like to go and voice their concern or see what the changes are going to be, feel free to come and be at the China Elementary tonight.
And Commissioner, I want to say that they did do that. They've already closed some of the crossovers on Highway 73. They did have public hearings. Some people objected to it. It made sense in some areas, but as development goes from Port Arthur to Winnie, they may can reinstate some of those crossovers. But right now, it made sense, even though some people did object to it.
That's good to know.
They've already done it on 73. If any of those people want to visit, what the strategy was. Thank you.
I believe the proposals, 50% of them are going to be closed.
Okay, man. Mr. Durden, you have something to say?
I do, sir. Thank you for a lot of time. Since it was brought up about the voting and placed on the agenda, I also want to speak to the court about the fact of voting and the importance of voting and the freedom to vote. I took a certification to be a poll watcher, and it was very clear that people were interpreting the poll watcher's duties differently. To the point that there was some oppressive means at the polls. People who were allowed and eligible to vote were finding problems being certified. And there are some differences in interpretations of what the poll watcher's duties are. So speaking to not any particular party, I just feel that when the rules are interpreted of the value of the poll watcher, we should be sure that everyone is playing by the same rules. Specifically, there were points where people's privacy was exposed when they were coming to vote. They had to give out their addresses and all to people behind them, which is pretty dangerous in these days and times. So if this body is going to continue to allow poll watchers to exist, all the poll watchers should be playing by the same rules, being interpreted by this the same way, and also the judges and alternate judges. When I was poll watching, the judges and alternate judges from different parties were interpreting and allowing different things to happen. There was some consternation at the polls when people came to vote. So aside from the fact that ballots were not being sent back properly and timely, when people did show up to the poll to vote, there were some oppressive measures and means being perpetrated by certain parties. We want to be careful that as we provide an opportunity for people to vote, that when they do go vote, there's no oppression. Thank you.
And Mr. Durden, and I'll say this, on some of the rules and regulations, this body do not have a whole lot to do with it. It would be directly related to the where the elections are ran from at the present time and the two parties, especially what you're addressing right now. Those parties would have to make sure certain things are correct from that particular standpoint from what I have read. Okay?
Okay.
Okay.
And may I make a point about that too, please? Poll watchers are appointed by the parties or by a candidate. And there's specific statute that governs them. Our office has nothing to do with poll watchers. And so how they operate is really up to the party or the candidate and the law.
But wait a minute. But there is regulations that you are governed by to make sure that the fairness is there as the responsibility of the election administrator. You might need to go check that also, okay?
And well, I don't have any control over interpreting the law of a poll watcher.
I'm not saying you have the right to interpret, but you do have the right to report if things are not going right and it's being reported. That's all I'm saying. Okay. Anything else? Oh, I'm sorry, Ms.
Thank
Ms.
you, Commissioners, for allowing me this opportunity to speak. especially as it relates to the voting process. I feel like a voice crying out in the wilderness who is being muffled by all the foliage of the wording and interpretation of the law. And as we have opined from the beginning of early voting to today about the infractions that were happening in the voting process, as recent as the night before the election night, there was a ruling here in the federal court here that there was intimidation at the polls, and that a particular person that we vehemently asked to be removed from a polling location was removed from that polling location on election day. That had to be a court-ordered removal. And I'm speaking to that because I feel that as voters, we were bamboozled in not being able to have that issue addressed. We were told, oh, these things just will work themselves out. We are going to be under new leadership. Me as a voter, I'm always open to work with leadership. Me as a party chair, I'm always open to having those tough discussions. This whole voting process, I just wanted to go on the record on behalf of the Jefferson County Democratic Party. This whole election process, from the voting machines to the way the polls were ran to the interpretation of the poll watchers on the Republican Party side, were just unjust, intimidating, and we have the court now to back that up. I have had so many calls from poll workers to tell me, one in particular, that we'll never be able to verify or solidify because this person is so afraid. If they tell their story, they will not have the opportunity to work the polls again, or their families will be harassed because of the narrative that we see on a national level. That there were two, at the end of the election night, the most recent call I got a couple of days after the election, because this person had to really process the safety. They wanted their anonymity. And at the end of the night at a polling location, two Republican workers were chatting along with the Democrat worker. And one of the Republican workers said, "When I was interpreting for the voters, I told them to vote Republican." And the other Republican said to that lady in front of the Democrat, that was not the right thing to do. But this was at the end of the night. So we don't know how many times that may have happened, but that for someone to openly confess that, and then you have someone who witnessed that, who's fearful that there will be some type of retaliation. This moving forward must stop. I'm not even going to touch on the voting machines and the running out of ballots and people not being able to cast their ballots, and they're being counted by hand by the staff. We have to really take a hard, cold look at this moving forward for our next county elections in 2024, and those things need to be addressed. Lastly, the beautiful thing about living in Southeast Texas, the beautiful thing about living in Jefferson County, are the multiple generations of family that live here. Everybody knows everybody's children. Everybody knows everybody's meemaw, nana, uncle, the ones they don't want to talk about in the family, the dog's name, the cat's name. That's the beauty of living in Jefferson County. Terrence's ballot should have been counted. The election worker knew this child. This was not the first time that this young adult's ballot had been rejected. During the primary, these same students had the same issues. I called to the SVC and EVB board and to Aaron Kelly to talk about this, this ballot. There is a process in place for the public who does not know. Before a ballot even gets to the SVC, their identification has to be verified. Then you can go back and check signatures. So with that being said, the likability of that being a false ballot based on the identification is slim to none. The fact that these three voters in his household had the same issue during the primary, the same exact issue. Now, the reason those phone calls are being made is because the Democrats fought for that. We fought for that during the primary when the Secretary of State suggested that ballots don't go out, I think it was a week before some major holiday, and on a Wednesday they were mailing out ballots when the post office was closed that following Monday. The Democrats fought for that. Let the records reflect. That wasn't something that they voluntarily did. We got a lot of pushback about it. We talked to legal counsel, and we fought to get that. So I want, this is, voting is not a party thing. Voting is a American thing. But you have to look at the premises of where these infractions are coming from, the ideals that the leadership is aligned with, all of that plays a part. And I am just outraged that this particular vote didn't count. I have a list of mail ballot voters, 92-year-old, 72-year-old, 83-year-old people on my desk who did not receive their mail ballot. We can't track it, we don't know where it is, and we're not getting any help with that. And so there's a lot going on, and this, an opportunity for us to clean this up. And we gotta clean this up. It's not fair for any voter. And that's it, thank you for letting me.
Okay. Ma'am.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Addie Allen, and I've stood before you just before balloting. Can you hear me?
Would you pull the microphone and point it at you?
Can you hear me now? Thank you. I stood before you concerning training with the voting process, and it sounds like a lot of this is coming from that. And what has happened to me, not one, two, or three times, I have surrendered my ballot. This time, I decided not to mail it in, but to surrender it. And I talked to the district clerk before this occurred, letting her know that, you know, it probably is training. I surrendered. I used the correct terminology. I got there and stood in line like everybody else the last day of early voting, went in, and immediately the lady that took my information, I said, I'd like to surrender my ballot. She said, she immediately called the election judge. That's training, because I don't know, I thought everybody that is endowed to handle voting would know each process. Went with the election judge. I surrendered my ballot, my license, my voter's registration card. She walked away from me, just had me standing there. And I guess she made a call. And then she came back to me and she said, just a moment. Then she came back with an affidavit, which that's what you're supposed to sign. Then she went to get something that I could write on. So I just sat down. I'm a senior citizen, so I was standing there. So it took actually 10 minutes, which is a lot of time, to get to surrender a ballot. So I'm just saying, training is paramount. And now I've learned today, I had a provisional ballot a couple of years back, and I was told there were only two people that did provisional. It was my fault. But I went on and I was able to vote. The day before the deadline, I called to find out, where do I bring my documentation? I was told, oh, the ballot committee has met. That was a lost vote. And I'm a good voter, and I understand what this gentleman felt. My mother and daddy paid money to vote. And now it's free, and I was denied. So something is wrong. And training, I know the system changed, but we have got to look at this, and somebody needs to be accountable. I hear all these things going back, the law, et cetera, but somebody needs to be accountable. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have one more thing. I've coached for 20 years. I've won some and I've lost some. One thing I've only asked is that when we play the game, keep the rules the same for both sides. Transparency on the rules, fairness on the calling of the games. But as far as elections goes, the most important thing we need to realize, whether you win or lose, because this gentleman here is a Republican, we got along fine, I support him, he supported me, we've done things together. It's not about color or personality as far as I'm concerned. But the preservation of our democracy and making sure that every person vote is what we're talking about today. And if we find reasons for people not to vote, we can find a million. But we need to make sure we start finding ways and to make it easier for people to vote. Let the best side win. I've been cheated out a couple of games. I feel, that's my personal opinion. But I shook hands and I made my players shake hands after the game and walk off of that field with their heads high. Because we played the game fair. That's all I'm asking. And I understand Attorney Payne, it's Reverend Payne, I call him, called me about his daughter, and I was just like, it makes no sense. We should be able to fix things that should be fixable. We send people to the moon. So if voting shouldn't be up, you know, it just shouldn't be that way no matter who win or lose. Because all I want to do is just play me fair. And I'm not saying the election wasn't fair. The best candidates won. The ones with the most votes won. And I'm not upset about that. The process is what I've been very upset about for the last 2 months, 6 months, because I've been involved with Ms. Leaston in these conversations. But the preservation of democracy in America is what's at stake right now. And when we find people that's disgruntled about voting, in my opinion, we don't have a voter fraud issue. We got a voter apathy issue. They're not voting. Right. Either side, they're just not voting. But so we're not getting the best, and not in the county we have. Maybe a different opinion on some things, but we're not getting the best candidates for democracy. We're getting BS for democracy that's going to represent every nationality in America, because we're a diverse community. I mean, country. And I wouldn't want to cheat this man to make myself a better person. Just play me fair and we'll go on with it. Thank you.
Well, okay, with that,
I just, yes. I just feel like I need to just say that we have worked so hard, Commissioner, to bend over backwards to interpret what we need to do. When we have questions, we call the Secretary of State. This whole mail ballot situation is new and it's complex. A voter surrenders their ballot at the polling location and we have to cancel their ballot. It takes a phone call to our office and we have to go through the cancellation so that that voter can then receive a ballot and vote right then and there. There's no provisional ballot when you surrender your ballot, but we have to cancel their mail ballot in order to give them a new ballot. Otherwise, they'll have two ballots. So there's a process there, and it's long, and I'm sorry it takes time to do that. We mailed out 20, we mailed out over 3,000 ballots. We got in around 2,800, a little more than 2,800. We had a small amount of them. I'll have those numbers for y'all tomorrow, because right now the early voting ballot board is meeting and going through the provisional ballots. The people that lost their mail ballots and went and voted provisionally, we canceled their mail ballots. We saw that they were sent one, but it just didn't arrive. So their provisional ballots will count. So there are probably about 100 more votes that are going to come out today, the sixth day after the election, because elections now go longer because of the whole mail ballot process. So I believe that it's fair determining when you send the mail ballot back to the voter. I believe that if the voter has their ballot in hand, and this is what happened in the early stages that Ms. Graves was talking about, that voter could then go to the polls or surrender that ballot to our office on election day. They have the ballot. When they don't have the ballot and they go to the polls, or they haven't sent the ballot back to us, or we don't send it back to them, they don't have control over their paper ballot. And That's the decision to make, and the early voting ballot board makes a decision to phone call, meaning that process happened. There's a lot of discussion about it, and it's up to a county to decide their procedures. That's not in my office. That's the early voting ballot board, which is made up of an equal number of Republicans and Democrats. So there's a lot of steps in place to try to make sure that these elections are run smoothly. I have worked so hard, and my staff has too, to stay down the middle lane in all of this process. And I know many of you all understand that and have seen where we've tried to do that. It's not been easy, but I'm real proud of all of them, and I'm proud of myself that we've been able to do that. And Ms. Graves knows that too, and the Republicans know that too. I've had both of them mad at me most of the whole time I've been here, and I think that tells you something. I hope moving forward that our office stays that way. It's imperative that it stay down the middle and not political, I believe, and I believe that will happen going forward. But I want everybody to understand that the decisions that we've made have not been off the cuff. We get input from our committees that you all select, you all approve, and we give them the information. They do their own research too, and I feel like it's gone pretty well. Of course, things aren't perfect. So, and I will get back with both these. And Ms. Allen, I'd be happy to talk to you after this too. I can look up some more information about your situation too. Thank you.
Okay. With that being said, and an open commissioner's court, I want to thank each of you who spoke, because that's what it is. You're the public, and we represent you. So you have a voice, and we need to listen. With that being said, I'm now closed. Oh, Patrick.
What are we thinking about meeting next week? Do we have? Okay, I see some nods. All right.
Yeah, two votes.
Come on, man. Need three.
So we're going to be here on Tuesday?
I'm going to be in Austin.
Okay. You're out. I know Judge. I think Judge is out.
I'm here.
Okay. Next week. Are you here, Commissioner?
No.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, it sounds like we don't have a quorum.
I'm here for the turkey.
Okay. All right. Just want to know in case we need to get our agenda items ready for.
Okay.
If we have to, I'll come back.
All right.
Okay.
Deb, do you?
Anything else?
I mean, Misty?
We have one thing, but it can wait.
Okay. All right. So, no meeting next week is what I'm hearing.
Okay. It's good.
Okay, no, we can't wait. The sheriff
wants
to present. Who?
So our phone, so we're in the midst. We just signed a new phone contract, and so we have executive session is what you need to get on the agenda, and so it's really kind of important because I think the company who is currently servicing us, they know that they're not getting the contract, and so the potential of them pulling out and leaving us kind of stranded is real, and so John is here today. He had surgery last week, and so he thought it was important enough to come even after having surgery.
No, that's one of the issues too, and with the new technology and the new phone contract, it's going to address a lot of the issues that we have at the jail. With the holidays coming up, it's going to be imperative that we get all of that in place, so the sooner the better for us.
So we need to meet.
All right.
We would appreciate
it. Here's my three.
Us two, you got to sit up with Judge.
I don't know. I think the judge might.
I'll try to make it.
Do we want to try Monday or?
Yeah, Monday.
Yeah.
Annette?
That'd be best day. Monday. Monday.
Monday. Can you have that session?
We're ready. We'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah, we're ready. We're just waiting on Deb. Monday. And so we could do it Friday. 72. However, you
72 hours you have to have, basically, if it's the emergency. But this is not an emergency. We can meet Monday and at regular time.
Yeah. Plan on that.
All right.
It's just me here Monday. I'll have to get someone to cover mentals unless we can maybe push this.
Oh, man.
Will this be the only agenda item we have?
Oh, yeah, we'll throw some bills on there. This is not an emergency day. We don't need to jump in emergency. This is not an emergency day.
I don't know who else is in the office.
Well, Monday we'll meet. You guys get together and get your stuff together and get it in time. That'll be it, okay?
Yeah, so we either meet in the afternoon or in the morning.
In the morning. 10:30.
All right. Good job.